If you think about it, the drugstore is one of the strangest places you can go.
I gotta tell you, Joshua, like, pharmacies blow my mind. You walk in the door, can you tell me what yogurt-covered nuts are doing in a pharmacy?
The whole rest of the drugstore is dedicated to everyday retail therapy. You want shampoo? There's a whole aisle.
Are you thirsty? The pharmacy can sell you beer? The pharmacy can sell you
lawn
beer.
Furniture? Hey, that's not weird. This is America. It's to the right.
Mega stuff, Oreos.
And what are these little keychains that look like aliens?
And look at that fabulous nail polish display.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're having such fun.
My favorite drugstore has stuffed doll versions of popular YouTube celebrities.
The store is crammed with practically everything there is that doesn't have anything to do with drugs.
Okay, so where is the actual pharmacy?
But go to the back of the store, though, with a list of the things that a doctor says that you need, and boy, do the wheels fall off. People are standing around waiting their turn.
Behind the counter of the actual pharmacy are just rows and rows of white bottles of pills.
And you overhear things, people being told your medications are not ready. You overhear other things, too, like really not good things, like your doctor did not approve your refill. You have to phone your insurer.
Medicare doesn't cover that.
That's terrible news.
I always feel uneasy when I'm in pharmacies because I've made so many late night visits there to get medicine when my kids are sick at home. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's go.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Primed, How Amazon is Changing Life as We Know It. I'm Carolyn Adolph.
And I'm Joshua McNichols.
Few things remind us of our vulnerability quite as much as the contents of our medicine cabinets. More than half of Americans use prescription medications, 4 on average. If we don't take our meds, we easily get sicker. But it's such a hassle to get prescriptions these days. Imagine if every time you needed a box of cereal, you had to call your cereal advisor, get a permission slip, and hope that the brand that worked best for you would be paid for by your cereal benefit manager's cereal formulary. And then only being able to get enough cereal for a prescribed amount of time.
You mean like I only get 2 boxes of Lucky Charms? I'd rather switch to frozen waffles than have to deal with that uncertainty.
You don't have that kind of choice. Pharmacy is so high stakes. People's lives depend on it. And as a consumer experience, it can be a misery, like so much of healthcare. Amazon has been quietly making lots of forays into healthcare, but one of their most public ones has been the acquisition of an online pharmacy called PillPack. And now, PillPack says it has added Amazon Pharmacy to its branding. There's been lots of speculation that Amazon could be the one to finally disrupt healthcare. What if it's starting with the pharmacy? That's coming up after the break. I don't know if you remember, but last year, Amazon decided to enter the freakishly high-stakes world of the pharmacy. The company that started out selling us low-stakes things, like books, bought a company called PillPack.
I do remember. Didn't they spend, like, almost $1 billion for it or something?
$753 million, to be precise. There were a lot of bold statements about how big and important this acquisition was.
Amazon diving into the pharmacy business, buying PillPack for just under $1 billion. Now it's shaking.
Tonight, Amazon priming itself to deliver prescription medication to your doorstep.
Amazon getting into any space makes everyone nervous. That's like the long and the short of this, right?
I could totally see a time in which you could be sitting at home with your Amazon Alexa speaker device and you could say, Alexa, refill my prescription.
Brett Thill of Jefferies, which is an investment house, was on cable TV saying this.
We think this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of what they're going to do. We wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, pharmacies in Whole Foods at some point. I mean, the process is fundamentally broken. The way we get drugs today is probably one of the worst processes you could go through as a consumer. And if you think about how much time and money you waste, that they can help eliminate, that's the same goal that they had when they started selling books and deodorant and everything else online. So we think this is going to follow the same course.
Okay, so that's what Wall Street is thinking. But what do users say about PillPack?
Oh, I'll show you. They're all over the internet.
Guys, we have something very exciting. PillPack was named by Time Magazine last year one of the top, 25 inventions of the year.
I think I agree with that.
Okay, so what are you showing me here?
It's an unboxing video, but for drugs.
Beautiful blue box of medicines.
These are people opening up their packages from PillPack. And inside that box is a roll of packets labeled with the time of day when the contents are meant to be consumed. You just rip each packet off in order.
All of your medicines are portioned out. So here's how it'll work. This is the first one. Oh, that's my first rip. That was delightful.
It sounds like she's opening Christmas presents.
A little. One thing I noticed about these videos was that people could not stop talking about the experiences that they were trying to avoid. This chirpy young woman was waving around one of those plastic day of the week pill organizers, and hers was huge.
I have to fill up all my pills. Sick of that? Throw it away! We didn't play it.
People in these unboxing videos talked a lot about the experiences they were trying to avoid. Like the one in the pharmacy.
The frustration of them not understanding insurance or not even being willing to help you with the insurance, and then having to drive over there, stand in long lines or sit in long drive-throughs and find out that your medicine's not even ready.
He is overjoyed at not having to go back to the pharmacy anymore.
And here's the thing that all of them had to mention, the personal note in handwriting that came with their first order.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome to PillPack, and thank you for choosing us as your pharmacy. Hope you have a nice day. So that's a nice touch. These days, customer service is not so great, so.
Yeah. I mean, some pharmacists are nice, though.
I suppose that's true. I mean, I've had a pharmacist totally save the day for me.
What I'm hearing in all this, though, is that people are responding to something that lets them step out of line at the pharmacy. It's like, they think this one thing, PillPack, is going to make a big difference in their healthcare.
I think that's exactly what TJ Parker is hoping for. He's PillPack's co-founder and CEO. He's also the son of a pharmacist who went on to become a pharmacist himself. And during his studies, he began to see a lot of troubles in the industry. Here he is back in 2015, before Amazon came along.
The more and more I thought about it, it really became clear that pharmacy and the current experience was really a service design problem. It was had never been thought about in the way that the consumer has to experience that.
I asked PillPack if I could talk to TJ Parker or his fellow co-founder, Elliot Cohen, but no luck. However, I did get this guy, Zen Chu.
And I'm faculty director for MIT's Hacking Medicine Initiative.
Typically, when we interview, we ask people what they had for breakfast. It gives us time to set up our recording equipment.
I actually don't eat breakfast anymore.
Wait, he doesn't eat breakfast anymore? Why?
We've been all told a lie that breakfast is the most important meal, and the head of the National Institutes of Aging convinced me to skip breakfast for the rest of my life, and it makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, this guy, he sounds like he's really into the world of health trends. Have you stopped eating breakfast?
Zen Chu has been in on the ground floor as an investor in all things health. And it just so happens, PillPack's co-founder, Elliot Cohen, used to be his teaching assistant.
You know, what we teach at MIT in my graduate course and at Hacking Medicine is that technology scales medicine. And it's one of the few things that really can help accomplish the triple aim that public health officials talk about, which is increasing quality while decreasing costs and increasing access for those that are disenfranchised in the systems that we have today.
Okay, so he helped students find ways to solve big problems using technology. What happened when the idea for PillPack came across his desk?
He got very excited. I mean, here were two young people reimagining the pharmacy experience through a customer's eyes. And eventually they were ready and they presented their idea.
And it was at a hackathon at Mass General Hospital, one of the Harvard teaching hospitals. And they did a fantastic job. I even have a picture of their first paper prototype that doesn't look very different from their product that they ship today. All the elements were there.
Okay, so it sounds like that prototype was doing a couple of things. It showed how technology could help the pharmacy through online delivery, but it sounds like a big part of it was just the design, like the box and its plastic pill packets.
Yes, I think that was huge. And it's that simple idea of a box and pull tabs that brought Joyce Lee to PillPack way back before Amazon became involved. She's a pediatrician and professor at the University of Michigan.
I specialize in pediatric endocrinology, which is focused on individuals with diabetes.
Okay, so she's not just a customer. She's a doctor, too.
She is. But Lee is interested in more than just medicine. She spends a lot of time studying design, like color-coded hospital supplies and ketchup bottles.
Ketchup bottles?
Just wait. We'll get to the ketchup a little bit later. You'll catch up.
What I really like about design is that it really gives you a lens for optimism and for thinking about how to try and solve problems in a different way than you've kind of normally approached things.
This interest in design is how she came upon PillPack, and she was enamored. Here was a company that wasn't trying to revolutionize healthcare with shiny and expensive new machines. They just wanted to find a simple fix for easy problems.
What I think is really interesting is that in healthcare, we haven't taken the time to solve a very simple problem, right? And I think this is an example of a very simple problem that was solved. So I think we think about large amounts of money, large amounts of resources, complicated digital solutions, but sometimes you need something as basic as pills in a bag, organized in a totally intuitive way to get the ROI on design in healthcare, right? That to me is the perfect solution.
OMG. I hate it when people use acronyms in everyday speech.
LOL. I do think she meant return on investment when she said that ROI thing.
Okay.
And what Lee is getting at is what's called human-centered design. Listen to your customers and ask for more ways that you can create convenience.
Ah, so PillPack shares some of Amazon's values.
Yes, of course, these values are not exclusive to Amazon. And this is where the ketchup comes in. Lee says Heinz ketchup is an example of a product that got so much better once the design was human-centered. For most of Heinz ketchup's existence, it's been in a rigid glass bottle with the hole at the top, even though the product has a great struggle getting out of that hole.
Boy, your ketchup's slow. You mean your mom doesn't buy you Heinz? No, why should she? Wait till you taste it.
So they made the fact that it pours too slowly into something people could get excited about.
Until some genius said, let's solve the problem for the customer. Put the ketchup in a squeeze bottle and put the opening on the bottom. Heinz's discovery of the solution really inspired Lee.
If we took that kind of effort, right, that a Heinz takes to redesign the ketchup bottle to make it a better user experience, right, to even a fraction of what we did inside healthcare, it would go a long way to improve, you know, towards improving the experience.
But Lee makes a deeper point about what's been happening in pharmacies and throughout healthcare.
As a culture, we tend to blame patients, right? We say, you didn't take your pill, shame on you, right? But we don't say, well, here's a better solution that will help you remember.
Lee was so inspired by PillPack that she even signed her mother up. She said the whole process surprised her.
I didn't have to wait on the phone. I didn't have to send additional information. I didn't have to fax everything. It just happened. So I thought that was pretty magical, right? It was such a smooth and frictionless experience, and that's not something that you typically see in healthcare.
I agree. Healthcare is all about friction, by which I mean paperwork and bureaucracy. So PillPack is making it easier to organize your medicine and get it delivered straight to your door. But does it actually make people healthier? Because that's what healthcare is supposed to do, right?
Well, we don't know. PillPack says it hasn't yet done a clinical study that proves its approach actually results in better health outcomes. But the company says it believes that adhering to prescribed medications goes a long way towards reaching health goals, and that PillPack's design strategy helps people do that. As it turns out, failing to take your pills like you're supposed to is a serious health problem. There are now several studies showing that between a quarter and half of patients fail to take their medications as instructed.
Up to half of people don't take their medicine in the way that they're supposed to?
Yes, and PillPack cites a study that shows people who don't take their meds often get sicker and then need more health interventions.
So something as simple as just organizing your pills has the potential to do a lot.
Exactly. But you said the magic word, potential. It turns out it's not exactly as simple as that. Next, we'll look at whether PillPack has what it takes to fix more than standing in line at the pharmacy. Okay, we know from going to the pharmacy that it's a pretty twisted experience, and we've seen all the excitement about PillPack, the company that rethought the experience from the customer's point of view.
Which was very Amazon of them.
But PillPack doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's trying to jump into an industry that's existed for a very long time, and the problems with the way we get our meds go way deeper than long lines. They have to do with the complex system that delivers all of our health care, from the doctor to the drug makers to the insurance companies. So many players.
Hello? Hi.
This is Caroline Malone. She's had diabetes since she was a little kid.
When I was 7, I was in 2nd grade, and it was in November. I remember being confused and a little bit overwhelmed. But I also remember being willing to take on the challenge and wanting to, like, have a part in it.
And like millions of other Americans with diabetes, she depends on a pipeline of insulin and blood sugar testing supplies.
I have test strips that I use to test my blood 8 to 10 times a day that are covered by insurance. I have the supplies that I need for my pump, which are hundreds of dollars every 3 months. The reality of diabetes is you're doing multiple things multiple times a day. Type 1 diabetes is not something that has a method to its madness. It's uncontrollable and you really can't calculate, so I need flexibility.
Oh my word, that sounds like a ton of work. It's like having a full-time job just managing that. I'm assuming she doesn't like having to go to the pharmacy all the time for her meds.
You're correct. And yes, before you ask, Malone was curious about PillPack. She checked it out, but she couldn't be absolutely positive that she could get everything she needs, and that made her stop and think.
Right now, I use a mail order pharmacy, Express Scripts, because that is what the insurance that I'm currently on sort of directed us to use. It's keeping things simple, and it's not rocking the boat.
I can see why she'd be nervous. She doesn't want to risk any disruption.
In many ways, this boxes her in, so much so that she's worried about how this need to not rock the boat will limit her future.
It's steering me towards a more stable career that can provide, like, good health insurance versus doing something that I'm really passionate about.
So PillPack might work for a lot of people, but it really isn't doing anything to address the bigger problems with the pharmacy and insurers and even healthcare at large.
You're 100% right. That's what you see when you zoom out. I want you to meet someone who zooms in to what's happening inside the pharmacy and someone who's trying to fix at least that piece of it. This is Don Downing.
I am a clinical professor of pharmacy at the University of Washington School of Pharmacy. Thanks for inviting me.
Not only that, he co-founded and runs the Institute for Innovation in Pharmacy Practice.
So he researches pharmacies and he helps train pharmacists.
Yes, and that's part of what's given him ideas for ways that the pharmacy system can be improved. Pharmacy students spend years studying how to manage complex cases, cancer treatment, multiple medications and their interactions, and then they graduate and end up sitting at the back of the pharmacy.
In most chain pharmacies, which is about, I think, 80% of pharmacies in the U.S., they have productivity computer screens in front of them. And those screens do something like this. They're, when you enter a prescription, you have a green light or band on your screen. And as you continue to work on it, if there's something that comes up that you have to work on, maybe an illegible script or whatever, it might turn yellow. And if you spend too much time with the patient before that patient buys their medicine, it may turn red. So the idea is that speed matters, and that's the incentive that's out there, because margins on prescription drugs are so thin that you have to fill a lot of them to keep the doors open.
Ah, okay, so you go to pharmacy school. It's an important profession. And then your workplace treats you like you're flipping burgers.
Yes, and Don Downing had some choice words for that.
Our students, in almost all cases, have a four-year undergrad degree. Some of them have master's and even other degrees. And then they have 4 years within the pharmacy school. So it seems rather insane, doesn't it, to have put them in front of a green, yellow, red light all day long?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, what would he have the pharmacists do?
More of what many of us have seen happen in the neighborhood pharmacy. You know, offering good counsel, spending more time at the other little counter off to the side where people actually obtain advice about their medications.
I think those moments can save lives, quality of life, and save a lot of dollars for the entire healthcare system, including governments and businesses.
He's been trying to change the laws governing pharmacies for years. He wants pharmacies to be able to charge fees for services so they don't have to get all of their money from selling drugs.
I point out to my students, you're coming to school in a profession that's the only healthcare profession in the U.S. that actually has to sell something in order to make a living. But you only can bill for the drugs you sell. So when somebody who's on 20 medicines walks in your pharmacy and they have 5 new prescriptions from one of their doctors in their hand, that in fact, that you're only paid to give them more when you should be coordinating care between all those doctors and the patient and trying to figure out whether 25 prescriptions is really in the best interest of the patient.
Aren't doctors supposed to be checking that stuff? You know, making sure that you really need all the medicine that you're taking and that all your pills don't interact with each other?
Yes, ideally, but people have many doctors often, and those doctors don't necessarily all talk to one another. Your medical records are only as good as what you tell the doctor that you're seeing at the moment.
So the pharmacist is a key figure, but they don't actually have any power to run interference on your medications. How is PillPack any different? I mean, isn't it just a mail order pharmacy with a cute delivery box and a great marketing team?
Well, PillPack is also getting paid by insurers for filling prescriptions, so that is exactly the same. But there are several differences. Consolidating every prescription with PillPack means that one company has the record of all the meds being taken, no matter how many doctors or even pharmacies were involved before. And people want to consolidate their prescriptions with PillPack because they want the convenience of having all their pills pre-sorted into daily packets. That is the point. And once a month or whenever something changes, PillPack says it reviews all the meds that a customer is taking, checking doses, and looking for drug interactions. However, I asked PillPack how many actual pharmacists it has on staff. PillPack wouldn't say. It also doesn't say how many customers it has. I asked PillPack who conducts this review, a human pharmacist or an AI. PillPack answered both. It has its own platform running in the background, and that technology is flagging unexpected changes. And then, PillPack says, licensed pharmacists conduct a review.
Wait, so you're saying there's an AI reviewing my prescriptions?
Yes. It is an AI reviewing prescriptions, but it's also people too. The hope is that there's more time to communicate with customers using text or the app.
So what do pharmacists think of this?
Well, I asked Don Downing about PillPack's version of the modern pharmacy. He says it's going to take more than a startup with some technology to fix what ails the pharmacy. He's skeptical that texts and messages can replace face-to-face contact with the pharmacist.
Is, you know, they're going to be in these big Willy Wonka factories filling thousands of these packs all day long using this machinery, robotics. It's pretty sterile. I think healthcare shouldn't be so sterile as that, that there's caring involved.
So this guy's saying how important it is for PillPack to free up the pharmacist.
Yes.
And now Amazon owns PillPack.
Mm-hmm.
But Amazon's the company that uses AI to measure every move of the employees in its distribution warehouses. And they're going to be the one to let pharmacists work at a more leisurely pace so they can spend more time writing handwritten notes. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
But Amazon does have more to offer than efficiency. There's got to be a bigger end game here. We'll look at that after the break. A lot of the excitement about Amazon's purchase of PillPack had to do with speculation that this was how they were going to start their disruption of healthcare. PillPack had pharmacy licenses in all 50 states. It had found a way to work with most insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers.
So is that what Amazon wanted from PillPack?
We don't know exactly, but I got a clue from one of PillPack's early investors. Remember Zen Chu?
Yeah.
The market, the direct addressable market. At that point, some analysts said $280 billion was the mail order pharmacy market. People use even larger numbers, a multiple of that now. And I don't know what to believe, but it's big.
But Zen Chu thinks the potential is much greater.
It's just the start. I mean, PillPack is the cornerstone now of Amazon healthcare.
So here's an early investor saying this is how they're going to disrupt healthcare.
Yeah. But Joyce Lee, the physician who's also a PillPack superfan, says, hey, this is going to be a hard disruption to engineer.
We have yet to make the huge cultural change of thinking about patients as our end users. There's an old guard and there's a new guard, right? And as sort of the leaders of a lot of our systems sort of age out of the system, there's this question of how do we redefine medicine or how do we redefine healthcare to be more consumer focused and not just focus on the institutional bottom line or the insurers to which we're beholden.
How do we do that? That's like the billion-dollar question here.
Yes, and it interested me because of the insurance companies that she mentioned. They often have their own pharmacy benefit managers. The pharmacy benefit manager is super powerful. It decides what drugs the insurance plan won't pay for and will pay for. It also sets the prices that people on that insurance plan will pay.
It sounds like a middleman, the kind that Amazon likes to eliminate.
Indeed. PillPack has been lobbying Congress about these guys since way before Amazon. When I asked why, the company said that when it sees issues that impede the customer's ability to choose their pharmacy service, they go after correcting those issues.
Okay, so is this the way PillPack and Amazon will disrupt healthcare? Are they going to eliminate this middleman?
Or what if it's by becoming the pharmacy benefit manager? I'm really frustrated right now because I simply don't know. I did ask Joyce Lee about how resistant healthcare systems have been to change. How could a tech company like Amazon even begin to penetrate this fortress?
They're going to be forcing the issue by providing services that are hopefully better quality, lower cost, and more friendly to the consumer, right?
Okay. I'm glad she mentioned the cost of medicine. It seems like it's one of the most important reasons why people don't take all their medications, right?
Well, you're right. Nearly one in four Americans say that they struggle to afford their meds. And the system that delivers those meds at such a high cost has noticed this as well. CVS Health is one of the giant pharmacy players. This is Troy Brennan, its chief medical officer.
People go to the pharmacy and they find out how much the drug is going to cost, and then basically they walk away from that. Even if you take the medication home, as you start to refill it, you're more likely not to go for refills.
Government could have a role in fixing this. Congress has been batting around a couple of proposals to reduce drug prices, but I wanted to know, could Amazon and PillPack do it? And I asked Zen Chu about that. This was his answer.
Absolutely. That's exactly why they chose to sell to Amazon, was because that would give them that influence and reach and, you know, economic base. I'm not an insider there. I don't know all their great plans. It's about being close to the customer, about giving good, great prices and great selection. They were already executing on that strategy of being able to do same-day deliveries in cities, and Amazon will just accelerate all of that and amplify all of that.
What does PillPack say about whether it can reduce the high cost of meds?
About that, PillPack was pretty clear. We're just a pharmacy, they said. All we can do is check for the best price for the customer. We cannot actually lower the price for the customer.
Okay, so this guy says, yes, Amazon is going after prices, and PillPack says it's not going after prices. That's frustrating, because that's a way I could see that Amazon could really start to disrupt the pharmacy and healthcare as a whole. And you were just saying you hadn't figured out how PillPack will take on the middlemen in the pharmacy game.
Right.
So right now, I'm not sure if Amazon's purchase of PillPack is living up to all the hype. You know, as much as I want to figure out how Amazon transforms healthcare, I'm not convinced this is it. Is Amazon even the right party to do this? I mean, lately, a lot of people have been looking to government to help reform healthcare. Like, you know, there was this House hearing over drug prices, and at that time, people were looking to government for help because government is, at least theoretically, driven by more than profits. It's there to serve its customers, you know? Us.
Well, you know, Amazon claims to be the world's most customer-centric company.
Yeah, but sometimes it also seems to use its monopolistic power to push out competition, which can run directly against the interest of the customer. For example, like just today, as an experiment, I searched Amazon for Hawaiian shirts by Tommy Bahama. That's a company we talked to back in season two. And the first search result, like not an ad, but an organic search result, was for shirts by the Amazon knockoff brand, 28 Palms.
28 Palms, the knockoff, came up first.
Yeah.
Wow. This raises a good point. Do we want Amazon deciding which pills we should and shouldn't take when we're looking for the medication that our doctor prescribed? Is a generic knockoff going to come up instead?
Which version of Amazon will step forward here to manage PillPack? Will it be the customer-obsessed Amazon, or will it be the anti-competitive Amazon that profits off its market power?
We shall see. Next time on Primed, we'll talk with Dr. Eric Topol about how Amazon could revolutionize the future of healthcare. Primed is a production of KUOW in Seattle. It's hosted by me, Carolyn Adolph.
And me, Joshua McNichols. Our producer is Alec Cowan. Our editor is Carol Smith. And our executives are Jill Jackson and Brendan Sweeney.
Music this week by Alec Cowan and Raymond Scott. You can find links on our website.
This is our third season of Primed, and as always, we want people to know about it, so we're asking you to get the word out, write a review, tell a friend about it. It would mean a lot to us.
Thanks for listening.